Hey, welcome in, everybody. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today Live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony. Tony, that open there reminded me kind of like, it was a Hail Mary to think we could ever get Mark Long to join us on a weekly basis on this program. Yet here he is.
And yet I got a text from you 10 minutes ago saying, are you coming in today?
I didn't know if you were. That's the thing. You know,
I talked to you 2 days ago, and I said, I'll see you Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't remember. 2 days ago. 2 days ago, such a long time. I had you shoot yesterday, by the way.
It was not pretty. I think I had 3 8s on the card.
3 8s?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Snowman.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. Not other than
weather's
that,
turning cold, and so is those, Mark's golf game.
Other than those three blow-up holes, I played pretty well.
Oh, good.
I think I shot mid-90s.
You're just relaxed. Gators bye week, right, for you? So a little...
Gators bye week for me.
Little bit of a downtime.
Tuesday is a day off. Yeah, so try to play golf.
Nice.
I haven't played in a while.
Is it more fun for you? It's more fun for us because we're in the building every day. You are most days as well throughout the week. It's more fun when the Jags win, right? I mean, I know you're a hard-bitten reporter,
it's
better.
It changes everything. It changes the tenor. It changes the attitude of the guys you're dealing with. Here's the thing. They've lost 9 straight. So you've been writing losing stories.
Same story.
Over and over. So when they had lost, they lost 9 straight, whatever it was, last year's 0-8. So it just gives you something, a fresh perspective. You're able to be positive and not feel like you're being a little bit of a hypocrite.
Homer. Yeah, sure. I got exactly what you're saying. Because we do see, you see the work being done behind the scenes and you want to believe that it's going to translate. You know the work is legit. But unless it translates to victory, it sounds hollow after a while. Just to talk about all the effort and everybody's staying with the program, nobody's deviating from the belief and all that. That's great.
And listen, you could not have watched the Gus Bradley post game in the locker room and not feel something. If you're dead inside, if you watch that,
you're
and didn't feel anything, you're dead inside. So, it's not a big secret that Gus invited a number of us over to his house earlier in the off season. And, so we met his family, anyway, so my wife got to meet Gus and Michaela and she just fell in love with them. And they're both fabulous people. So she's all in on Gus. She loves Gus. So she was so happy for Gus. First thing when I got home Sunday night, she's telling me, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for Gus. I'm so happy for Gus. I was like, oh, let me show you this. So I pull up the video of, I go to Patrick Kavanaugh's, I don't even know where else. It was probably on the website, but I was getting off Patrick Kavanaugh's Twitter account.
Yeah, Jaguars.com's got all that stuff.
Yeah, so I go to PCav's Twitter account. I call it up and show it to her on the iPad and literally bawling. Like watching Gus and them in the locker room, just because she knows him, and she you couldn't feel it. Now again, I'm a little more, I'm certainly way more dead than she is inside, but she's
I
emotional.
Hope you're not bawling.
She's emotional to begin with, but watching that video, she really, it brought her to tears, and she was just so ridiculously happy for Gus and for the Jags, and probably partly for me too, because she knows that it weighs on you to always be writing the same story and to be like, Muschamp is a good example, because at Florida, she knows that Muschamp getting fired means a ton of work for me, and a coaching search is never fun to go through. And from a reporter standpoint, probably not from a leadership, from a official standpoint either, front office or whatever. But I walk in Saturday night and she's like, oh, so sorry for Muschamp. And I was like, yeah, I know, it's and for me. And so, and it was, it really changed the weekend Saturday, Sunday with the Jags win.
Does she ball for Will as well?
Or? No, doesn't ball for Will, but she balls for me because she knows that that I'm gonna have to go through a coaching
search. That's more understandable. More understandable. And that's the thing,
And you're away from home more with that, you're working longer hours.
Which, depending on the status of your relationship, may be a good thing or not, and I take it you guys are very close, and that's wonderful to hear. People want to root for Gus Bradley, right? But, at the same time, I totally get fans who were saying, when can we question Gus Bradley? Well, you can question him anytime you like, right?
It's your prerogative.
The record is what the record is. And it's
not good.
It's still not good.
No.
Okay? But at least for a week, it quells all that stuff. Not that there's any and real substance to is Gus Bradley on the hot seat.
But last week, he deserved to be questioned. Because he messed some things up, and he looked every bit like a rookie coach, not a guy who had been in this thing for 22 games, and he looked like a guy who had no clue what he was doing on the field in a close game, and that is absolutely worth questioning.
No doubt about that. Right. But in terms of the big picture, and you know, in terms of job security and to that level. It's never really it's not a true story. It's a story that some percentage of the fans would bring that up because of their dissatisfaction. Again, I'm not pointing the finger and saying you're bad fans for feeling that way, but it's just nice to have that win right now, at least for now, that tamps that down.
Sure.
And to play well without the one guy everybody was on board with, the quarterback, playing well in this game. And I've said it a few times this week. Had they won with Bortles throwing for 350 yards and the running game going nowhere again, I think you'd still be like, man, what is going on?
Right.
Even if it's not, you can't expect 22 for a $1.27 out of Denard every week. A lot of circumstances went into that, but man, it's nice to know that it is at least possible to get something like that.
Absolutely. And this will tell you, one of our conversations in the media room last week was, can Gus survive 0-16? So that's where we were, you know, at 0-6, it didn't look like, and the schedule's about to stiffen up again. You know, I mean, it's stiff early in the year. It's about to toughen up a little bit here after Miami, right?
So it appears.
It appears. It's the NFL. It always appears, right. But, it also appeared that Cleveland had an easy game, you know.
Cleveland was already 6-2.
They were 6-2. So the talk in the media room last week was, could Gus survive 0-16?
And that was the one thing that you know, I would bring up when I would talk with Joe Coward and Hacker and T-Wig and those guys at the end of the show, was that, you know, I didn't think there's any scenario. And then Joe would say 0-16. And my mind couldn't wrap itself around that scenario because that is such an ugly blight. And now that's out of the question.
Takes it completely off the point
now where I think people, it's interesting to hear the positivity of people that think, all right, we got the first one. It's almost like now we know we can win. We'd been competitive for several weeks. You almost feel like at least that the attitude among the fans is that the floodgates potentially could open up with this football team.
Well, they won 3 out of 4 last year after that first win.
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Yeah. That's what it was. 4 out of 5 last year, 3 in a row after that first one. So why not? Why not do it again?
Miami's not a special team. I mean, they're good. They're certainly capable. Miami is not a pushover, but at the same time, they're not a world beater. And that's kind of the NFL, more so maybe this year than almost any year. We talk about this parity every single year. I mean, you look at teams, we pointed to the Giants, Tony, right? I mean, the Giants at one point looked like they were red hot on a roll.
Heck, you were talking about, is the schedule really toughening up? I mean, Dallas looks like a world beater right now, but does Cincinnati?
Cincinnati gave up. They scored 37.
AJ Green back.
They are.
When? Probably not this week. I mean, and then
they're
you're only a week.
That it could be this week.
Only a week removed. Right. I heard him on radio this morning, and he said something along the lines of wait and see. I mean, I don't think there's any chance he plays this week, personally.
Reggie Wayne, too.
And then if you're Cincinnati, you say, all right, we've got the 2-6 Jacksonville Jaguars coming
in.
That's right. I said it. 2-6 Jacksonville Jaguars. Are we really going to rush him back for this game? That team gave up 37, and then they got shut out this week. So they do have big issues going on right now.
No question.
And I think it's similar to last week when we were coming into the Cleveland game. You watch Cleveland, and yeah, they're 3-2, but they don't play great defense against the run or pass. Really, what they do is run the ball to set up play action, and how much was that going to be affected by losing one of the best centers in the game for that team? This is a Jaguar team now going into a Miami game where the defense has been cruising for 3 weeks. I mean, last week, I'm rewatching the game right now. How many times they had 4 and 5 guys at the ball on a tackle? It was incredible, the defense they were playing last week. They lose their middle linebacker, and they lose one of their better rushers on the defensive line. I mean, how is that going to affect what was really rolling for this team coming into this game? Because the offense has been kind of hit or miss, you know, in that span. I know Bortles threw for 330 yards, but the offense wasn't scoring while he was doing that. I mean, if the defense takes that step back again, it becomes that much more difficult for this team to stack wins.
Yeah, and I think the teams that they've beaten, aren't they – all they have this in common. They're not very good defensive teams.
Yeah.
Well, they beat New England in week one, and they come and go in that regard. Chicago is another example, one of these teams who they just beat, that at one point this year, you're like, wow, that offense is really going to be good all season long.
Now all of a sudden they're pointing fingers
at
each other.
Right. I mean, it's terrible. Miami, win, loss, loss, win, loss, win. So
and
they
the
have
losses
put
have been
back.
By 19, right?
They 19-point loss to Buffalo, a 19-point loss to Kansas City, and a 3-point loss to Green Bay, which is, you know, Green Bay's a good football team, but hey. Whatever the case may be, I think they got a shot. But Tony's right. I mean, you can't overlook the loss of Paul Posluszny. We'll talk about that today. I saw your tweet yesterday kind of discussing that, whether they think Jeremiah George at some point this season would be ready, and maybe you put JT Thomas back at the auto spot.
They've really liked the way JT Thomas has played at that auto. So all of a sudden, that's the moving piece, that you move him off, and now you got to – you got to hope that Dakota Watson's got his head on straight this time, going back in there, or maybe Leroy Reynolds. They've looked at both of them early in the year and didn't really like what they saw.
Right.
So that's why they went with JT Thomas. Now all of a sudden you move him to the middle. They think long term Jeremiah George might be, this season, might be their starting middle linebacker.
Long term being what? 2 weeks down the road? Three? I mean, how? That's the question, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a rookie who's been here 3 weeks.
Right.
So,
I mean, how much
maybe,
time?
Maybe three games, maybe four games, maybe
the last month of the season that he gets a chance
absolutely.
To do that.
But that's at least something that they're potentially looking at. Now, Dakota Watson would be the first to tell you that, you know, he had it. He missed all of the offseason, all of training camp, and when he went in there early in the season, he was not ready. And he said it Monday. He said, I wasn't ready to play. And he's like, I didn't know what I was doing. Didn't feel comfortable on my leg. And so now he was able to, you know, they pull him out, look at it from afar, get a little healthier. He thinks that he's going to be way better and way more confident and comfortable than he was early in the season.
But that's a guy that, even though he couldn't practice, was here and could, you know the scheme, know the system. I know it's different to process it when you're actually in the midst of it and you're doing it, but that's one of the challenges Jeremiah George will have to get up to speed mentally as quickly as possible here. 641-1010, you want to get in, talk Jaguar football today. Victory Wednesday, I'm declaring it. I'm going all week long, baby.
Don't revel in it. You're not supposed to revel in it.
You kidding me? Gus said this one we can revel in.
He said 424.
I've got a 7-day rule on this one. All right.
Good.
I mean, maybe not every week, but this week there's a 7-day rule.
You
in
flush
effect.
Losses, but you revel in wins.
Well, I think no. We didn't trust me. We didn't flush losses.
No, we were carrying those losses.
We carry. I mean,
you revel in wins and losses.
Tony and I are here every day. If it were just Tony and I, we probably by Wednesday move past it. But we like to, you know, give everyone who comes in who's a co-host with us get a chance to react to last week and look ahead, so we relive it good and bad every day throughout the course of the week here. And today, we're talking about the optimism of what one win can do for your perspective. Want fans to weigh in the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight, asking you, now that the first one's out of the way, you got 9 more to go. How many more do you expect to come? How many more do you think can come for the Jacksonville Jaguars? If you want to lay out the specific ones, like a lot of people have done already, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. I don't know if you saw the message on the board.
I did.
Well, Donna said, love you, Mike. Lauren added, and Mark Tony and Joe Fortunato.
Oh, that's
that is so, actually not the order it happened. I put first, happy Mike, happy life.
Oh, happy Mike, happy life.
That came
that's
first.
That's true. This is my happy week. I declared on Sunday that I'd be happy, nice Mike for a whole week.
Wow.
I know, it's tough, but so far I feel
a
like I'm doing
week.
Pretty well. I think I've avoided the snark, Tony. You can grade me on that. I think
I've
done pretty
good.
Well for 2 days.
You have.
It's only 2 days. O'Halloran's going to test me on Friday. There's no question. Okay.
So really, Donna just loves you.
Donna loves me, yes.
And then she doesn't love anybody else. It's very clear.
Well, she may, but she doesn't express
it's
it.
It's very clear.
And she bottles that up inside.
And then Lauren feels bad. I think Lauren feels badly.
That's a pity
that
love.
That it's so much. No, that it's all about Mike.
Yeah.
So then she goes, okay, listen, they clearly read
it's
the board.
Pity for you.
Yeah.
I love everyone.
And Jessica just ignores us all.
Jessica and Blythe. Blythe left us leftover donuts last week.
And this week I brought the leftover cookies.
That's not.
Yeah, there's cookies up here.
Were those from you?
Those are from me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. See, I love everybody.
Why don't you bake them? Why are you buying Publix brand?
There's this little thing called work that gets in the way of stuff.
What are you doing at
What am I doing on Tuesday night?
Yeah, what do you do after Helmets and Heels?
I go to sleep. I got a busy day the next day. I had therapy this morning on my finger. I got to see the lovely JOI people again.
Whoa. You buried the lead. Therapy on your finger.
Yes. We've already talked about this.
They have therapy on your finger?
Yeah, I have what's called a pseudo boutonniere.
Push-ups. You get a little ball and you squeeze the ball.
That is not included in my therapy.
You're paying for that?
She didn't want to be like Larry Bird in later life, you know, with that thing sticking out, or Tori Holt or something like that.
Yeah,
a 45-degree angle.
It's gross. It's fat and it's gross. Right. So right, they're fixing
it. Gross, everybody. Welcome to Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday.
Fat and gross. You just described like 75% of our listeners, but go ahead.
Oh,
no.
That's terrible. That's Mark Long. That's
He's
not
going
a nice
to the penalty box.
I think our listeners are
have a cookie and shut up, Mark.
Our listeners look great
they're
in their Jaguars
even,
Today
these
shirt.
These aren't even chocolate chip. What did you buy?
No, they're Heath Bar.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. I agree with Mark, okay?
All right, fine.
On our listeners or the cookies?
On the cookies. No, the listeners are fantastic.
You know what?
Cookies,
don't eat them.
Questionable
Heath
choice.
Heath Bar cookies. We're leaving them for Blythe.
Yeah, he'll be here next
she
week.
She had her chance
for you.
Last night.
We're gonna eat half of one.
Let's give him to Joe. He'll eat anything. All right, 641-1010. Phone lines open to you. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We'll hear if you missed Gus yesterday. We'll play a few of his thoughts coming up and let Mark weigh in on what Gus Bradley had to say in the wake. He even extended the 24-hour rule for us a little bit yesterday to talk about the game. So Jaguars Today rolling on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguar rookie linebacker Telvin Smith named AFC Defensive Player of the Week today by the National Football League with a sack, forced fumble, interception, a couple of passes defense. Also had a couple of additional tackles for loss in the run game. It's interesting. The stats are funny. You get a sack and a tackle for loss, you get them on the same play. You know what I mean? So, and a pass defense, well, an interception comes with
same
a pass
thing,
defense.
Yep.
You know, so he had the near interception as well. I'm not taking away. He had a tremendous game. And clearly, the NFL felt the same way. He became the first AFC rookie to win a Player of the Week award this year. The second overall, Kyle Fuller of the Bears, did it in week two in the NFC. So, pretty amazing. That was R. Kelly featuring the game Players Only. Guess on the theme there, playa? R. Kelly, this is not Ray Rice related at all, is it?
It is not.
I hope.
No.
Let's hope not.
Can't be. I would never do that.
You gotta think opponent. It's Miami.
Okay.
It's a Miami theme. Miami theme.
How's that feature
done? It's not a Miami theme.
See? At least you're thinking. I immediately think the worst of R. Kelly, which I do, so what can I tell you?
Right.
I don't know.
I love that you don't know.
You
love that?
I'm waiting for a second.
It's probably very simple.
I was afraid it was going to, y'all were going to come right out
song?
And get it.
What was the name of the song?
Players Only.
Player of the Week.
There you go! See, I was afraid because of your lead in, you were going to go straight to it, so good job. You got it.
I know, I just have to think simpler. I really do.
Oh,
well,
God.
No, I don't mean that in a bad way. You're just very...
Take that, Lauren.
I know.
I don't mean
we want to figure out your themes. We got to be simple.
I don't mean you're simple. I just
you are
to the point. You're not. You don't try to disguise it necessarily. We're just not bright enough to figure it out. That's what I mean. Nice, Mike.
If you hadn't seen the tweet.
Was I nice to R. Kelly there? He doesn't deserve nice.
No.
Nah, you're good.
He doesn't deserve nice.
So that's fine.
Wow, so one. We only need one song.
That's
yeah,
it.
You
yeah,
did
yesterday,
it.
Logman comes in, he goes, we're talking to Prosser and I, we're all, you know, happy, excited. He goes, wow, glasses half full. So, Lauren came out with cheap sunglasses, had no idea. Just no idea. I mean, I gotta just think, what did we just say in the last 15 seconds? Because that's usually what the theme is.
She's very prepared.
Something like
She's
that.
She's winging it these days. She's winging it based on your comments.
I almost awesome did Ludacris this morning, because he played at homecoming for Florida, but I was afraid that was too much Luda for the morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't have
because
that.
He played at homecoming for Florida. That how would that have been?
Just because I was talking about it this morning, and Mark, I'm sure, was there at Flavette Field.
I was not there at Bobette Field. Thank you very much.
Wow. All right. And how that would tie into the Jags, I have no idea.
Just because I felt like it.
See, that would be a wrinkle.
That would be a wrinkle. What is the theme? Whatever the hell Lauren thinks it should be today.
Just think simple.
Next week it can be Heath Bar cookies.
It could be for all you.
Apparently, I'm in the minority.
By the way, no, the minority. Twitter's backing you up. I thought.
Oh, really?
The tweets I'm getting. That,
oh, okay. You're getting a lot more than I am. The ones I got all said I'm wrong. That Heath Bar cookies are the best. My argument is, you said they were the best.
Or you said you didn't like them.
I don't like them.
Oh, I'm with you then. We agree.
Lauren's the odd person out. If they were really good, they would have all been eaten. There's four left out of a 12-pack.
Yeah, but you're talking about girls. Girls, even if they're hungry, will pretend like they're full because they don't want to be seen eating.
By the way, a 13-pack.
Three cookies. Nothing
left
wrong.
Four. There's four of us.
Eat some cookies.
They ate
ladies.
Nine. So that tells you they ate nine. By the way,
T-Wig says he hates all of us. I don't like that at all.
It's all right.
T-Wig hates all of us?
That's what he said. I hate all of you.
Next week,
because
I'll tell you what I think
about. Because he doesn't have
it.
A cookie.
Right.
I'm going to be nice, Mike.
We'll send him over to the studio.
Come on over. There's four. I already gave him the Duval Doom. I told him, make it by. He said, I love Heath Bar cookies, and Nick Carnes agreed with him. So you can split the right down the middle, two apiece.
Now I have to make cookies, homemade cookies, for y'all next week, don't I?
Chocolate chip.
You could. It'd be fantastic.
I'll use simple ingredients.
That's right.
Chocolate, sugar.
Yeah, we definitely don't want like those healthy cookies.
No.
I did
find
the ones that crumble.
I want the ones where you slice a chunk off the end of the roll and you slap it on the cookie sheet. Right?
I can handle that.
8 minutes later, you're eating them.
Right. We know what's in those, and it's delicious.
I did find out what those paleo chicken wings taste like, and they're pretty good, actually.
Paleo chicken wings?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It means that the sauce used does not have any sugar or added preservatives.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
Yeah, but it really wasn't bad.
Because millions of years ago, when dinosaurs walked the earth, there was no artificial flavorings or
in their chicken wings.
Yeah, I would think a paleo wing would be like a, what was the bird, the big bird?
A pterodactyl.
I would figure a paleo wing would be a pterodactyl.
Be like a giant, like something you'd get at a Virginia Tech game.
That'd be
perhaps.
A coup. At a Jacksonville Jaguar tailgate, we got pterodactyl wing.
There we go. Part of the tailgate show. Let's get that going.
Shall we talk?
We are way off.
Let's hear from Gus Brown.
We are way off today.
I'm fine. I am too, but I'm just saying we have no direction.
Anything
that keeps me in happy, nice Mike mode is fine. It's a challenge all week long.
Well, we should get back to the game.
Well, Gus Bradley keeps me in that mood. I mean, he's got all that positivity just oozing from his pores. And yesterday he joined us here in studio. Let's hear a few thoughts in case you missed the interview. Gus just talked about appreciating this one after starting the season 0-6.
I want to make sure our guys appreciate it. I mean, they have worked extremely hard and put a lot of energy and time into it to say, all right, good job, and then move on. I think they need to learn to appreciate all their efforts into it, and we do as a staff. And then it comes to a point in time when you say, all right, now we remember what got us to this point. We remember this feeling. Let's stay true to it, you know, as we go on and prepare for Miami.
David Lamb talks about this all the time. This is the regular season win, but so many coaches, college coaches are the worst at this. We're going to enjoy this one tomorrow, and then we're going to go right back to work.
Right.
Shut up.
You can really enjoy it all week.
Enjoy it for the rest of your life. You just won the championship, for goodness sake. How many of those come along? And I get it. If you expect to win another one, you have to prepare sufficiently, but I think fans appreciate the fact that the players appreciate. You know what I mean? It's not just, don't give us this lip service that it doesn't mean anything. It's the next opponent, on to the next one. No. Enjoy this game. The fans were desperate for it. They certainly
build
enjoyed
it. Build off of it.
They want to see the players
confidence.
Loving it as much as they do, you know?
Well, you can't look at that locker room video and not see that those guys loved winning that game for each other, for Gus, whatever it was. I mean, they enjoyed that thing.
And they brought up the city and the fans, a lot of them, before anything else after that game, too. I mean, what that celebration was, they understood where the city was with this team, too. The frustration of 0-6 and how desperately they needed something positive for this team. Coach Bradley, joining us yesterday, also talked about what Pozluzny and Andre Branch and Mercedes Lewis brought to this team before they were injured.
I know the NFL has that mentality. Hey, next man up, we got to roll. There's so much truth to that. But I don't want to take away or diminish the fact of how important those guys are to our team. I think that's a little bit of disservice to them in my eyes. So very important to our team. Puz, Brancher, I mean, just like Mercedes. I mean, they have tremendous value in many ways, not just as a player, but the mindset they bring and their professionalism.
Once again, so simple. But real, next man up, doesn't matter. Next man. Well, the next man up probably isn't as good as the first man.
Shouldn't be as good.
Because the first man is the first man.
And he's getting paid $7 million a year for a reason.
Right, in the case of Pozlesny or even Mercedes. I mean, sure. Both of those guys. But they're the starters because they're better. And that's the way the world works. And so it's nice to at least acknowledge that, you know, it's a challenge. It's not just plug and play. You just don't put anybody in there.
It's very rare that you take a starter, a veteran starter, off the field and his backup, whether he's been in the league a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, in the case of JT Thomas, that he steps in and plays at that level or better. It doesn't happen.
Jumping ahead here, Lauren, to the running backs. We actually had this one sent in on Twitter yesterday with Denard, obviously earning the opportunity to show that this is not a fluke. What happens when Toby Gerhart does get healthy? What are you going to do with the rest of these guys at the running back position?
You know, if Toby, we'll take a look at him today and see if he'll be able to practice tomorrow. But if he comes in, then, you know, it'll be mostly Denard, and we'll take a good hard look at Toby and see where he's at health-wise. Obviously, Jordan Tymon's got his role, and Storm is coming along. So we've got some decisions to make, but it'll be based off, you know, how Toby feels and where he's at.
What do you think? I mean, was this a set of circumstances where, you know, Cleveland, as Jeff Loggeman put it yesterday watching film, was daring them to run? Okay, six guys in the box kind of stuff. Fine. What I liked was, even with that, sure, when there are holes there, he hit the holes, and anybody can run through open holes. But I thought he broke tackles more than I would have expected Denard Robinson to. Pushed the pile, fallen forward, ran a lot more physical than I think anybody would have expected him
to.
No
question. This was not a situation where he got the edge, which he tries to do so often. It was a guy who was running between the tackles. I think the majority of his yards came between the tackles. So that was the encouraging thing. And then the other thing is he held onto the ball. I mean, you know, and I know he got a bad rap for you know, not having great ball security last year. But give him credit. The guy has really done a great job in ball security for all of 2014.
Coach Gutz also talked about his quarterback number 5 and the mindset, how mature he has been through just a month, basically, of his NFL career.
He's tremendous, man. A really strong competitor, really strong mindset. You know, I love that part of him. I think we demonstrated that when we went back in there and had that 2-minute drive, and we said, let's go. We've got tremendous faith in you. There's some mistakes that were made, but learn from it, and let's move on. And that's what he does.
They also, you know, showed confidence in him, and I think an 0-16, I think you have nothing to lose, so to speak. I mean, you want to win, but you're in the game. You're not just going to throw it haphazardly around, but here he is throwing a couple of interceptions. You get the ball. You get a little momentum by them going forward on fourth down.
Could have taken a knee.
You could have just said, you know what, we get the opening kickoff in the second half. Let's not do anything dumb deep in our own end here. Instead, I think he's been better in that situation than almost any other time, Mark, because maybe he just doesn't think about it, and it's just, let my natural ability take over and let's just sling it around, and everybody kind of gets in that mode where they don't think. These are young guys, and sometimes that's your biggest problem as a young player. You think too much.
Yeah, no question. And I think that drive, it just gave you another glimpse, and we've said this all along, it gives you a glimpse that he's got a chance to be special. That drive, 3 plays, 76 yards and whatever how many seconds it was, really showed you that he knows what he's doing out there. And do you want him to cut back on the turnovers? Absolutely. But what you love is that it's not in his head, the turnovers. He's unfazed, undaunted by mistakes. And that's going to give you a chance. Absolutely gives you a chance.
You see the opposite when you see Geno Smith, right? Even when he's playing well last week, he gets down in the red zone, and you can see him getting tighter and more conservative because he's thrown so many interceptions and cost so many games. And that's you're right. You can't take away that gunslinger, quote-unquote, mentality from the guy. What you want is that intellectually he processes it all and makes the same mistake very infrequently going forward, right? You know, just,
yeah.
You got to know in that situation when you're in point blank field goal range and you might even be able to run for the first down. Even if you don't think you can make it, throw it out of the back of the end zone. You can't force that one in like you did try to do with Cecil Shorts.
And he's got 10 interceptions. I think he's on pace to either tie or break Peyton Manning's rookie record, which was 29 interceptions his rookie year.
28, I think.
Was it 28?
I think 29 would break it, right?
Okay, so I think he's in the ballpark for that through, was it four games? So he's got 10. So he's in the ballpark for right around 30 if he keeps his pace up. And again, but it doesn't bother you. It bothers you certainly from, it makes it more difficult to win when you're turning the ball over. But, you know, when you see him bounce back the way he's bounced back, he's not getting gun shy. He's not getting shell shocked. He doesn't look like a guy who's losing any confidence with those turnovers. And I do believe that they'll start coming down, at some point here. I don't know when, but I think at some point he'll stop making some of those, rookie mistakes.
All right. Gotta have it, in that regard. And, we'll get into, what the Jags might be able to do with the Miami Dolphins coming up. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you if you want to get on board. 641-1010, that's the way to do it. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, this is Miami.
Is this your jam right here?
My jam.
I can see Mark Long dancing to every Will Smith song on the face of the planet.
That's awful. That's awful.
You want to do a little Fresh Prince theme right now? Me and you? A little acapella? No.
Yeah.
No. You don't want to go there, do you?
No. Don't want to go there at all.
Fine. It's Smith. Smith is the key word here. Come on.
Telvin.
Attaboy, yeah. Telvin.
Attaboy. Oh,
yeah. And he joined us on Monday.
I thought she'd switch it. Well, this one has double meaning. It's
exactly.
Really well played.
I know. I'm so simple.
Very well played.
I think your music themes are exceptional.
Here's the thing. If she would have started with this one, you would have thought Miami.
Of course you would have.
Right.
So she could have gotten us.
She absolutely could
have
gotten
us. You thought it anyway, Mark. So she got you.
Good point.
Good point. Fantastic point there by Fat Tony. All right, 641-1010. We're going to get to, among other things, the change in appearance this week to the bank as they get ready for that other football game that's coming to town.
It's kind of sad.
Let's get to the phones in the meantime, 641-1010, and talk with T. Hello, T. How are you?
Hi. How you doing, fella?
Good.
I just had a quick question. Justin Blackman, I was reading on the internet, he is eligible for reinstatement week 9. Would that mean he'd be available week 9 or be available week 10? Because they say he's doing pretty good and, I guess, program is in.
I'm going to say he's not going to be available.
Yeah, he's not going to play in 2014. And yeah, he would be eligible for reinstatement, but that was before he had his latest, drug arrest, which happened in July, just weeks before training camp there.
Plus, you have to apply for reinstatement.
Yeah, and just because you apply doesn't mean you're going to get it. I don't think he will apply in November. He's still, I think that's about the time that he would be finishing up his 90-day treatment program at this undisclosed location. So I just think that there's no way, no how that they're going to try to rush him back. In getting him in the building or anything like that now. I mean, I don't really think they'll apply for reinstatement. I think this is an off-season, at best, issue for this team that they worry about this come, you know, March or April.
Yeah, if his head's in the playbook right now, by the way, that's a bad thing for him.
It's not in the playbook.
Right.
It can't be in the playbook.
So you'd be, even if as a practical matter, if he got reinstated tomorrow, is he in football shape? Is he mentally in the shape to know what to do with the stage of that the offense is in right now, hasn't had any reps with Blake Bortles, there are a lot of things.
And what kind of physical shape is he?
That's what I'm saying. You're right. Is he in NFL game shape right now? He may be in good physical shape compared to people in this room, but that's a pretty low bar. That's a pretty low bar. I'm sorry. I'm going to include you in that one compared to most of the guys, or if not all, in the locker room right now. But beyond that, Justin Blackman, one point in the offseason, we all would have said, I mean, it was a very low percentage that he'd ever come back. I think, you know, talking to you, just seeing the sense of him finally maybe making the better decisions about his personal life. And I still contend, Mark, the fact that his mere presence on the roster is a thing that this guy were the 53rd guy on the roster, he wouldn't be there. That's just a practical reality in the National Football League that I think there's a chance for him. I'm not gonna get my hopes. I'm not going to say it's better than average, but I'm more optimistic about it than I have been in a while.
Yeah, and listen, I think given the news that he finally went and got help, I would say that you should have a level of optimism. It doesn't need to be, you know, off the charts, but you know, nobody needs to go out and buy the Justin Blackmon jersey right now. I mean, but I think there can be a level of optimism as low as the expectation, but you can have a level of optimism that if things continue on the current path and, you know, and that he could end up back here next season. To, you know, back here, maybe even for the off season, but I think that's best case scenario here. The reality is, and this is, you know, and you hear it all the time, is that the majority of people who go to rehab relapse. So, you know, that hasn't happened with him yet, but who knows once he gets out. The real challenge for him would be once he gets out of rehab and tries to re-enter his normal life. Then, you know, because all of a sudden when you're in rehab, you don't have those temptations. You don't have, you know, those kind of, you're not around the people who have gotten you down this road, or at least,
or the situations that put the stress on you that may have led you to it or whatever.
The enablers like Lauren in your life, you know, you don't have those people. So right now it's all good, but the real challenge will be, where is he at, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months after rehab stint is over.
Right. But as opposed to forget it, this guy's never suiting up for the Jacksonville Jaguars again.
And that was the thought.
Right.
There was a strong thought that he's done and that they should cut ties, that they should cut him and let him go and be done with him, be completely done with him. That was the common thought, at least outside the building and by the public perception maybe. That was a very, very common thought. And I think some media people wrote it that they should cut ties with him. And that has not been Shad Khan or Dave Caldwell or Gus Bradley's mentality, and it might pay dividends.
And quite frankly, had they gone that road, I wouldn't have blamed them a bit.
No.
I mean, come on. You know, if they're able to integrate him back in one day in the future, if he takes all the necessary steps, I think it will be as much a testament to their patience, their belief. And obviously, again, I don't think you do this with a guy who you don't think can help you on the football field, ultimately. I don't think you go to these lengths. That's my personal opinion. But we'll find out what the future holds. But as far as this year goes, just be excited to watch, hopefully, the continued development of guys like Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee. And that's almost even better, right? Let these guys continue to grow. And then if you ever do get him back, you add it to the mix of a couple of guys who have had to shoulder a large responsibility for their role in the offense.
But it's absolutely okay to think what might happen, which is you got Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, potentially Cecil Shorts, Ace Sanders, and Allen Hurns, and possibly Justin Blackmon. And then, yeah, I mean, I think it's okay to say,
why not?
Listen, best case scenario. Listen, I said it before. This franchise hasn't had very many feel good stories over the year. Certainly not at the receiver position. So why, they're long overdue for something positive like this, a good feel-good comeback story. I've said it before, the other thing, the NFL wants to reinstate guys. They don't have enough of guys who come back and do positive in their drug program. That validates the program. When you have guys who come back and, like Jolly, the Green Bay defensive tackle, guys who are suspended indefinitely, come back, get reinstated, and then, you know, look like they're on the right track and play, you know, be good citizens and play good football for years after. The NFL doesn't have enough of that, and so because of that, it shows they want to do it because it validates their program.
The trick is not convincing yourself that it's going to happen.
But you can have a glimmer of hope.
Sure, imagine what it would be like if.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
But
I think that's okay.
At the same time, Dave Caldwell, as a pragmatic man, is not counting on that either, right? He's got to make his plan, and that's why he went out, and you got a couple of guys this year that ultimately, if you had to go forward, whether you re-sign Cecil Shorts or not, you hope that Mark Heasley and Allen Robinson can be a one and two in some combination for you. And if you need to supplement that with, you know, adding more guys as the years go on, that's life in the NFL, you know. But if you could get that guy back, it's just not a situation that you can count on for inside the building or outside the building. Hope, though.
Absolutely. And just like you hope that Allen Hurns kind of gets back to what we saw earlier in the season. He's kind of dipped a little bit.
Sure.
Just like you hope that Cecil Short stays healthy all this year. Just like you hope that
two in a row is a good deal.
I mean, right now. You hope that Mercedes Lewis comes back. He's on a really good pace. He started running last week. He's going to start cutting this week. You hope that, you know, when he's going to be able to help him after the bye week, you hope that he picks up right where he left off, because the guy had a fabulous offseason and was really looking like he was going to do big things. And you hope that Clay Harbor and Mercedes give you that tight end combo that's absolutely lethal in this NFL. It's okay to hope about all of those things.
That's a good transition. Coming up, we'll take a look at Paul Posluszny and Mercedes Lewis in particular. Mercedes hopefully will get back and help this team down the stretch this year, but we'll take a look at their contract situations going forward and what the future might hold for those guys in particular. We've got to this date in football history coming up, the Honda drive around the NFL as well. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. You're tuned to Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Mark Long's favorite this date in football history, brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. A few things happen on this date in football history, including among those, Corey Dillon rushing for 278 yards and a couple of touchdowns on 22 carries. That's quite the average per carry. At the time, 278 bested Walter Payton for the all-time single-game mark. That was October 22nd, 2000. Going way back here to 1939. You guys care to guess which stadium hosted the first ever televised NFL game?
I think I've heard this before. I think, isn't it like Yankee Stadium?
Ebbets Field. You're in the ballpark there. Not the right ballpark, but in the ballpark nonetheless.
I was going to say Chicago.
That's Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But I'm saying I wasn't far away.
You were
going to
be in North America.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that one. Philadelphia, the Eagles, and the Brooklyn Dodgers of the NFL. And check this out. They had two cameras in the whole thing. One of them, Skip Waltz, was the play-by-play guy. This is on NBC. They had an experimental station called W2XBS. 500 homes in New York got the game. Plus, they broadcast it on closed-circuit TV at the World's Fair in New York at the time. And they had a camera over, one of the cameras was right over his shoulder. And he would hunch down, like, right above the railing in the section that he was in. He was in the stands. Camera's right above his shoulder. And he would point to the cameraman to what action on the field he was going to be talking about. Like, if there was a punt return, he'd point over here and say, see that guy over there doing whatever the heck he's doing over there.
Wow.
When the sun went behind the clouds, there was no lighting, and the screen would just go dark. And so it would just be a radio broadcast on your TV until the sun came back out from behind the clouds. So that TV is never going to catch on. You know what I mean?
That's awesome stuff.
That is awesome stuff. 1939.
That's the neatest this day in football you've ever done.
Is that the best one?
Yeah.
Your
sure,
favorite?
For me.
Because
it's
actually something cool. Some history.
Teaching moment.
There you go.
All those.
There you go. He was, he had his chin on the rail in the mezzanine, he said. Old Skip Waltz did back in the day. So there you have it. NBC Eagles over the Brooklyn Dodgers 23-14. Tell your kids about that one day at the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. They're all about customer service and giving you the highest quality product as well. Fencing is an investment in your home or your business, so give them a call for a professional free estimate at your convenience at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net. That is this date in football history.
I wonder if the video still exists.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
New England Patriots leading pass rusher are one of the best in the league this year. Chandler Jones is expected to miss about a month after suffering a hip injury in the team's win over the New York Jets last Thursday. Jones has been playing through a shoulder injury, been on the injury report for most of the season, but now will be out for about a month. In other Patriots news, the team has reportedly acquired linebacker Akeem Ayers from the Tennessee Titans via trade. The terms weren't disclosed publicly, but according to a source, the Titans are sending Ayers and a 7th-round pick to New England in exchange for a 6th-round pick from the Patriots. Ayers has been inactive for all the Titans games this season. The Dallas Cowboys have waived Michael Sam from their practice squad and signed linebacker Troy Davis. Sam released the following statement on Twitter regarding his release. Quote, "I want to thank the Jones family and the entire Cowboys organization for this opportunity, as well as my friends, family, teammates, and fans for their support. While this is disappointing, I will take the lessons I learned here in Dallas and continue to fight for an opportunity to prove that I can play every Sunday."
All right, there you go. I think that's a good question that you're asking right there.
I think Tebow released a very similar statement.
Did he?
When he was last cut, yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
I'm not going to go there.
I'm not going to go there. Happy Mike. I don't know. My guess is there is no video of that. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a shame.
Would there be video? I mean, would they have recorded that even back?
If they're showing it at the World's Fair, there's a chance.
Maybe. I don't know. I just Googled video of the first NFL game ever televised and have not come up with anything yet that looks like actual video. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Would you watch it if there were?
Yeah. Wouldn't you watch it just to see? Yeah, I wouldn't watch the whole game, but I'd watch to see what it looked like. You know, what right before it went dark when the clouds came out.
Leather helmets or no helmets? What do you think? 39?
Leather.
Leather?
Yeah. I think leather helmets have been around for a long time, right? Probably since, like, I would think since, like, the first decade of the 20th century, I'm guessing. In college?
All right.
There was a little bit of a, back then, epidemic, but there was a rash of deaths in college football to where, was it Teddy Roosevelt? Somebody thought about banning college football because
really?
So many people were dying
because
playing
of
college football.
Head injury?
Various trauma that they got, head injuries and wow. Others, you know, not a whole lot of padding going on back then, back in the day.
Yeah, this isn't the first time the NFL or football has had to deal with one of these, hey, you're not protecting players stories.
Right.
I mean, it's been part of their history.
Right.
It's a
violent game. One day they'll say, you know, hey, remember that time back in the early 21st century when they only played with helmets and shoulder pads and hip pads and that's all they wore? I can't believe it. And they let people actually tackle each other to the ground. It was incredibly insane.
You remember when goalies didn't wear face masks?
That is nuts. All right. That is nuts.
I still can't believe it ever happened.
They're firing pucks at you at who knows what kind of speed. That's a little crazy. All right. Mercedes Lewis has 1 year left on his deal next year for $6.65 million, basically what he's making this year. Paul Posluszny has 2 years left on his deal.
His dip's in his final year, doesn't it?
No. According to what I'm seeing here, this is RotoWorld, who actually does a pretty good job with contract detail, said his salaries for 2014 through 2016 were steady at $7.45 million every single year. Clearly, they have the cap space to hold on to these guys. What is your guess as to whether or not they either one or both of them play out their contract?
I think a lot of it, well, for both of them, will depend on what they do, what they plan to do, draft, and then what they can do in free agency. That's the other thing. You know, if you can get a
Julius Thomas.
What if you can get Julius Thomas?
What if you? I mean, if you're paying Mercedes six plus, and you could get Julius Thomas for nine,
sure.
Much younger, wouldn't you do it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you still need to have that inline guy.
Go find another tackle, and maybe
Nick Jacobs is that guy. I mean, they like him. Big kid, he can block a little bit, so maybe. But I don't know. I know this. Mercedes' skill set is different than the majority of tight ends in the league in terms of being able to do a little bit of both. Now, he's not, you know, Julius Thomas or Rob Gronkowski or, you know, Jimmy Graham in terms of a pass catcher or sometimes a little clumsy, but he's a big, huge target who's great in the red zone and, and he can block. He can do it both. So
that's not in question. And I think he's shown inconsistent hands at times, but he's a much better athlete than the guys that you typically think of as the blocking tight ends
at
in
that
the NFL.
Size too.
Yeah,
at 6'6" and 260 pounds, there's not a is he 6'6" or six?
Yeah, I think 6'6".
6'6", 260. It's not a lot of guys that built like that. So who can run?
What's their biggest need? I'm not trying to. This is not a trying to go down the draft road right now. But what's the biggest area of concern? I mean, clearly we got to find out what these young running backs are capable
and the
of
run
doing
line,
over the
young
last.
Linebackers. What is Telvin Smith capable of being an every down back? Is a linebacker? Is he capable of taking that next step? So I still think defensive end, based on just the makeup of the team, and it's not to take away from Ryan Davis and Andre Branch. I don't think they have that guy. And Chris Clemens is on pace for, 10 sacks, which is great, but, he's still over 30, same as Red Bryant. And so those guys aren't, building blocks for the future. So I think you gotta think defensive end, in the first round, regardless of where they finish.
What do you think of Austin Pastor?
So far, so good. I mean, I think he's serviceable, defensive end. I think this will be a very good test this week if he lines up against Cameron Wake.
He'll be a restricted free agent at the end of the year, so they can obviously control him for a very reasonable
marginal price, yeah.
Yeah. All right, what about Posluszny, though? Two more years, it's at about $1 million more than Mercedes is making, about 7.4. He's got his faults in coverage. Nobody doubts that. But let's assume he's able to come back completely healthy from this by some point early enough next offseason. I just get the sense that Bradley just loves this guy.
Heart and soul of the defense. They love him, love his attitude, love what he brings to the table, loves that he plays through just about every little minor nick and bruise and bang up, I mean, the guy went in with a torn pec and finished the
drive.
Finished the drive. And then even on the sideline, he like shooed the trainers away. It was like, hey, I'm going back in the game. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's get this thing looked at. But I think I think he is still a bargain at $7 million for what he does for this football team. And the middle linebacker is so important in Gus Bradley's defense. It is a position that makes a ton of plays, and he makes them. He's capable of making them.
Might not be a bargain for a contender up against the cap, but that's not the situation that they're in.
Right. So. And here's the thing: if they get better outside linebacker play around him, he'll look a lot better. In the middle.
Hopefully Telvin Smith can be one of those guys.
Sure, and look, my sense of that situation is that I wouldn't doubt that this team is going to go talk to Posluszny about maybe what they want to do with that contract. Hey, we'll give you an extension, give you another year or two in that
maybe
contract.
Maybe give you some upfront money.
Right, but so we're going to really do it lose. At 5.5 or 6, maybe that kind of thing. And I think Posluszny's at a point where he is coming off a pec. If he does like Jacksonville, that's something that he may be open to as well.
You're still another year away from having to touch Gratz, Cyprian, Evans, those guys, not even Evans, just Cyprian and Gratz, guys who would be, you could touch after 3 years. So, the money shouldn't be an issue at all for this franchise. So I don't even know that you go and say, hey, restructure. The guy's clearly, a playmaker on this defense, one of the guys they don't need. And I think you've seen the last 3 weeks. I don't think it's any coincidence the defense is playing a lot better because Paz played a lot better. And, and there's some moving pieces there in terms of pressure and the back end, playing a little bit better. But, he played better and the defense played better. So I think you bring him back at that price and you just eat it.
All right. A couple things going forward here. One, if you want to weigh in on the fan feedback spotlight, it's a pretty simple one today after the first win, 9 to go. How many more can the Jags get? How many more do you think they'll get? And if you want to weigh in on specifically which one, somebody has gone as far as to give me a score of every game for the rest of the year.
I saw that.
Which is kind of nice. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. You got a chance to win a Jaguars Today t-shirt every day by responding to the fan feedback spotlight. Also, Jags Miami will look at some of the key matchups in this football game. Lamar Miller practicing with a knee brace on yesterday for the Dolphins. Obviously, no Sean Moreno, already out for the year. So that could be a blow to their running game as well this week. And changes cosmetically to Everbank this weekend. We'll touch on those as well. Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs. Residential, commercial, industrial, you name it. Metro Rooter can handle it. Same day service that includes the weekends with the right people and the right equipment. I love them so much. I trust them to come out to my house. They've done a lot of work at my house and they've done it very effectively, very efficiently. Great customer service. You won't beat the price either. Metro Rooter, the right people, the right equipment. Serving Jacksonville and beyond since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911. Let's start with this. changes, things that won't be open this week include the pools, right? A little bit of a different look as they prep the stadium for the Georgia-Florida game.
Yeah, in fact, I was out there on Monday. They've already covered the pools, so you can't even see them from the front. They, like, put a little, I don't know.
Facing?
Yeah, facade is what I was going to say, a little facade over them. So, yeah, and they've already taken out the lower cabanas, and they've already started with they've already taken down the, what's it called, the man cave? No, what's it called? The
fan cave. Yeah.
Fan cave, man cave.
Same concept.
So they've taken down the fan cave, and so they've started the construction of all of the temporary seating in the north and south end zone there. And it's a real shame because, I mean, that adds so much to this stadium on game day. It's, I mean, the scoreboards are amazing, and obviously I think those are the centerpiece, but the pools and the cabanas certainly have their place and make it different and cool and whatnot. So it'll be an interesting, you know, to see what this place is like without those come Sunday. And, it, you know, the real question to me, the two questions beyond it, first, does Florida Georgia ever relent and start using the pools? I think it would be amazing for that
you
game.
Have to drain them after that, I tell you.
It would be amazing for that game to have those pools and to sell those cabanas. And I think there would be a waiting list of big money boosters.
Huge.
to get a cabana and
have,
you know,
a Gator
for that game.
Pool and
now,
a
I will say
Georgia
this.
Pool
yeah.
would be awesome.
I will say this. You know, I don't know what I haven't been down there for a game. I don't know. How well you can see the game from that area, or certainly from the cabanas that are pretty far back off of the field. So that's, you know, you wonder about that. And then the other thing I wonder about is whether or not the Jags at some point will work out with the NFL a schedule to where they don't have to close the pools. If indeed it's going to take 2 weeks, to get all the scaffolding and those temporary seats set, then can't you work it somehow in the NFL that you're on the road or on a bye or in London during this time?
You'd have to do that 3 straight weeks, though, because you can't. They're not going to put you on the road, hopefully, 3 weeks in a row. Right? You don't want to be on the road, even including the fact that London's
a home game. But they want to be on the road the week before London.
Correct, the week before London, and then you could do London
and then
in the
bye week.
That's the only way to do it.
And I think that would be ideal to do that going before Florida Georgia. Now, listen, that stinks.
What would be advantageous about it is you'd get a nice mid to late season bye every year. You don't want that week four bye.
Correct.
Like some teams
Correct,
get,
absolutely.
So.
And you don't want the last bye, week 12.
You're going to say what stinks is what?
Well, I was going to say what stinks is you're away from the bank for three straight weeks.
Right.
And
they're going to be that this week or this year.
Well, yeah, you're right. Cincinnati, London, and then the bye week. Yeah, you're right. But that's what you hate that. You'd much rather have a schedule where you can build something by being at the bank every other week, or, you know, you just don't have 3 weeks away from home, two at maximum, because that keeps everybody kind of into it and involved, and you only have to wait a week before you're back at the bank, you know, rooting on the Jags. I think there's something to be said for that, but I think down the road that would be the ideal scenario, is to go, especially the next 2 years where you're still in London, is to go on the road, then London, and then bye week, the 3 weeks leading up to Florida Georgia.
Did you make the London trip last year?
I did not.
You did not? Okay, I didn't know if I know O'Halloran said live in McDonald's for the week.
Well, O'Halloran's
his recommendation.
Yeah, O'Halloran's got a little bit of a he doesn't exactly have a wide variety of things he eats. I think he's a little on the picky side.
Is he? All right,
that's my guess.
That's fine. Yeah. I don't think when you think of great world cuisines, I don't necessarily think British food. You know, I don't know if anyone does, the Brits included. So. I'm interested to see what the whole experience is going to be like. I can't believe it's come up this quickly on top of that. But that's for a few weeks down the road. Miami coming up this weekend. Very good team. Top 10 defensively against the pass and the run. It is a team here in Jacksonville, guys. Were it not for, you know, late turnovers, I mean, still struggling to score points mightily. Okay, so whereas they ran the ball effectively, it was still a 10-6 game, very deep into the contest, and it was still the first game in which they topped 17 points all year. You were going to add something?
Well, I was just going to say a little breaking news on the Florida beat. Jeff Driscoll has been officially benched. They're going to go with Treon Harris.
That's a terrible decision.
Against Georgia, here in Jacksonville, what we're talking about, Florida-Georgia game. So the Jeff Driskel era seems to be over in Gainesville.
Well, that, I guess, give Gator fans a reason to not sell their ticket to that game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably going to be a lot of that, to be honest. We've talked about it a number of times.
You can sell hope. And if you put in a new quarterback, you can sell it. Same thing happened with the Jags. It's hard to sell Chad Henne week in and week out when you got another guy on the bench and you know who Chad Henne is and you want to see this other guy play. Same thing at Florida.
Yeah. By the way, I think just as the nice guy that I am this week that Jeremy Foley's doing a terrific job slow playing this whole situation. And that's as far afield as we'll go from the Jags.
Okay, weekend. Back to the Jags. Back
yes.
To the, are the Jags really? Somebody just tweeted me that they're... He changed it. He asked me if they were away from the bank for 5 weeks. I don't think that's true.
No.
Just the three. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're back home. Are they their home after the bye week?
I'm almost positive. Is it the Giants?
They're at Indy after the bye week.
So they're actually away from the bank for four weeks.
And then they're back against the Giants.
So that's a really stinky thing of a setup.
That is a stinky thing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say another word. But yeah, you're a month away from your home crowd.
That seems dumb.
But the Jags asked for it because they asked for a road game on the East Coast going into London. They didn't want to be at home, you know, that week before London. They felt like there was a little bit of distraction last week, and they felt like they'd be better off getting away on Saturday and being able to regroup and really focus on that game Sunday.
It just makes it, I mean, so difficult if you have to face this year in, year out.
Yeah.
To, you know, get a roll going. And because you look at the schedule, it says, all right, Miami at home at Cincinnati. Dallas is a home game at Indy. So from the NFL schedule makers thinking, oh, it's home game, road game. But the home game is not this home.
And you've got to have the bye after the London game. So
yeah, that's one where it seems like they could have...
They could have given them a home game after the bye.
And then put them back on the road, and then they would have been alternating the rest of the season, but it is what it is at this point in time. Looking at the Dolphins matchup this week, you know, there's a sense, hey, you know what? There's some optimism now. Jags defense is playing outstanding, and I think they can do a good job against Miami. The question is, without Paul Posluszny, how effective can they be against a run game that's been very good this year? Lamar Miller, we mentioned a few minutes ago, practicing with a brace on his knee, but a lot of times you see things like that happening, and, you know, through the miracle of modern medicine, yeah, on game day, everybody's just fine.
And these guys amazingly recover way faster than any of us. I tweak a knee, and it's like I can't get out of bed for 2 months. You know, I creaky, you know. And these guys, they tweak something, and they're back a week or 10 days later. It's unbelievable. Really is unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, on the other side here, scoring against Miami team that has been – very good against the run and not as good against the pass, but overall, I mean, they're top 10 in four of the major categories, talking about run defense, and run offense, pass offense, right? So 3 out of 4 is pretty good, but Joe Philbin's kind of getting on the case of the special teams. Caleb Sturgis, St. Augustine product, is hitting 78.6% of his kicks. That puts him 28th in the league among kickers. Not very good. And their punter is dead last in the league in net average. So, you know, as we often focus on offense, defense, special teams sometimes is the field flipper. Ace Sanders, I thought, did a much better job this week.
Got north and south.
Right. So we need to see more of that, certainly. You include his returns. He had a return of 20, 21 yards, whatever it was. There were like 6 different guys that had a 20-plus yard play. And you expect that to get that on kickoff return, but, you know, Todman catching the ball, Marquise Lee catching the ball, Allen Robinson with the 31-yard touchdown, you know, just those big plays that we haven't seen all year just goes to show you. You get a few of those chunk plays, all of a sudden they put up their highest point total of the season. Some of that dictated, obviously, by turnovers deep in the Cleveland end, but nevertheless, it helps you at the very least dominate field position, which they did throughout the game. And, you know, when they ended up turning the ball over, defense had good enough field position on 2 out of 3 drives that they didn't put any points on the board.
Yeah, absolutely huge special teams. And Jags special teams have been pretty solid, I mean, especially of late. So it could be the game changer here for them. We were talking about, you know, Miami's defense. Listen, Cameron Wakes is as good as there is in the league at defensive end. Jelani Jenkins is in his second year playing.
He's having
really,
a really good year.
Playing really well there at linebacker. So they've got some pieces on that defensive side of the ball. They were good last year on defense for the most part. So if their offense is clicking, it really is crazy how it goes hand in hand. I was talking to Gus Bradley about this Monday, and he said, listen, don't, you can credit the defense all you want. He's like, do not underestimate the fact that the quarterback change and what it played into this, because they've been on the field longer offensively. They're sustaining drives, even though they've turned the ball over and whatnot. They're sustaining drives, moving the ball, and that has an absolute direct effect on the defense. And he credits, you know, yeah, defensively they played better. They got rid of, you know, getting rid of Winston Guy and switching out the auto. All of that has played some roles. Gratz, McCray, all of that stuff has been very good. You also factor in that they've played a little bit lesser opponents offensively recently. But he's like, do not underestimate the role that Blake Bortles and that offense has played in the defense kind of step.
Keep
up
it fresh.
Game.
I mean, yeah. That's what it comes to. And for Blake to not have a running game, to be able to complete as high a percentage of his passes as he was able to.
And third down. Look at what he's done on third down.
For the most part. I mean, this week, not so great.
No, not so great this week.
But, you know, they're coming around in
coming
that
into this week, he led the NFL in third down completion percentage.
When you can get first downs in the running game, too, I mean, that keeps the clock rolling, keeps the defense on the sideline as well. Paul Posluszny, we talk about his injury, and Andre Branch, what kind of loss will be to the Jaguars. We'll get a prognosis on those as best we can. Dr. Stephen Lucy from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute will join us for our weekly injury report. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. Also look back at the fan feedback spotlight. What's your prediction now on the Jags win total for the rest of the season? It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, be looking out for the Foundation Professionals of Florida photo contest. We'll add that soon to the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/Jaguars today to look for those. We'll give away tickets to an upcoming Jaguar game. If you have issues with your home's foundation, call 287-2690. Licensed and insured Foundation Professionals of Florida. Visit foundationprosfl.com. Dr. Stephen Lucy here with us, as he is every Wednesday, one of 31 physicians at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to be back.
Yeah, good to see you. We've got, unfortunately, some Jaguar injuries. We've been kind of surfing around the league looking for stuff because the Jags, for the most part, have stayed fairly healthy this year. Not too many catastrophic injuries. Paul Posluszny, though, tears a pectoral muscle, and I guess he said in the locker room the tendon is, or the muscle's detached from the tendon. So it seems pretty significant, but in your experience, when you suffer this kind of injury, what is the expectation for a full recovery, and what kind of timetable would you put on an elite athlete being able to focus in on his rehab, getting back to the point where he could feel comfortable being back on the practice field?
Well, I tell you, it really shows how tough he is. I watched this. I thought maybe he dislocated his shoulder. I don't think he came out for a while, so he tried to play through it, and then after the game, was diagnosed as having a tear of the pec. These are rare injuries. You know, you see them usually in our weekend warriors lifting too much weight, trying to max out in a bench press. But in these football guys, it's usually the defensive guys. They got their arm out. They're trying to tackle, and the ball carrier runs through them, and it rips it. And in these cases, you know, the minor pulls, you know, you can rehab those. But when you've disrupted the whole mechanism, you usually have to do surgery to fix it. And, you know, they're out usually for the season. But it's a very good prognosis to come back for the second year, you know, for the second season when they come back. They should be just about good as new after a good off-season program.
So not necessarily any more susceptible to a recurring injury in the same area.
Well, you know, this is a rare enough injury in to begin with. I don't think I've ever seen anything on recurrences, but typically on these things, Achilles tendons, if you take the time and spend the time to rehab it and give it a time to heal, sometimes it's even stronger than it was before.
When you talk about a groin injury like Andre Branch has, okay, without speaking to the specifics of his situation, when you have one that you say is going to take at least 6 weeks to come back from. How would you, is that a grade one, grade, what's the grade one, the most significant kind of injury we're talking about here?
Well, the grade one's actually the milder ones.
Most mild, okay.
And you know, we've seen some of these players with the groin pulls. These things, your groin you use when you're cutting and changing directions more so than sprinting, which is usually your hamstring that we're seeing all these wide receivers get. But when you get one of these things, I've had a few back when I was doing the Jaguars that actually pulled off the bone. And, you know, those usually you hope it's toward the end of the season because it's very hard to predict when they can be back. The more serious ones where you actually have the tears, you're typically looking at 6 weeks or longer. The milder ones that you can rehab, those are usually 2 to 3, 4 weeks. So it varies, and these groin things are very unpredictable. We've seen a lot of them that start off being a groin pull that turn into sports hernias, and that's another whole topic.
Is that because you're overcompensating for something, or it just that's the next progression for some of these injuries?
Not always. You know, you can have a pure groin pull, but when you hurt things down in that area, before we really understood the sports hernia, we were kind of misdiagnosing them and thinking they were groin pulls. And then after about 4 to 6 weeks, they weren't getting any better. And then we got smarter with the sports hernia. But I understand from Andres, this is a groin pull. It's not usually almost never requires surgery, although occasionally. And usually it's just rehab and it's time. It's time to when you can get back and push off and cut. And these guys have to push some big guys around and they got to have strength in their legs.
I guess I'm not the only one wincing as we talk about some of these particular injuries out there. Fred Taylor was one of the guys. We talked about it just the other day when he was in here with us on the postgame show that he's one of those guys who did have that tore right off the bone. And as he put it, he took one for the team and downplayed the significance of it. Tom Coughlin wanted to list him as questionable on the injury report. There's no doubt you're not coming back anytime soon when you pull it off. I mean, is it the tendon you're pulling off the bone in that case?
Right. If you sit down and you spread your legs apart and you reach down there, you'll feel the tendon right in your groin. That's the adductor longus. That's the one that pulls off the bone when you pull it. There's a bunch of other muscles that you usually get into the muscle. But, yeah, I can remember Fred's well, and Tom would just as soon have not revealed any injury
right.
at any time. And for a running back, that's the ultimate cut and explode kind of guy. So that's the kind of guy like Fred that's going to take the longest. You get an offensive lineman, he's got to push. But, you know, for a guy like Fred, that's the longest rehab of it all, just his position and the way he used to run.
Do you have to perform surgery? I mean, is that how else would it reattach to the bone? Would it just grow back?
It does grow back with some scar tissue, and they do reasonably well without surgery. I think they've done some studies with and without surgery, and the last one I saw, there was really no advantage to sewing it back.
Really?
Unless it pulls off with a piece of bone, which is usually more in your high school kids. You know, us older guys are going to pull it off, just the tendon from the bone.
Okay, good one for the older guys right there. Dr. Stephen Lucy, speedy recovery to both Paul Posluszny and Andre Branch. Certainly, Dr. Lucy, again, one of 31 physicians with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute, and don't you forget it. Dr. Lucy, good to see you. You stay healthy. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you next week.
You got it. Dr. Stephen Lucy with your weekly injury report here on Jaguars Today on Metro Rooter Wednesday. We asked you today in the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Now that you got one on the board, what do you expect in terms of a win total over the final 9 games of the year? We've gotten at least one 9-0 in here, Tony. Give us a sampling. I think a lot of people weighed in with specific games that they think the Jags have a really good chance to match up well in.
Yep. From Jags Movie Guy, we got, if we only beat the Titans and Texans twice this year, I'll be a very happy fan. Hashtag sweep, sweep, sweep. Well, you still got the chance to do that against Houston, just like you did last year, but you dropped one against Tennessee. From Stevie, we got 5 more to finish on 6-10. From Nick, 4 more wins. He's calling a shot. Miami, Houston, Tennessee, and Houston. Hashtag finish strong. From Brian, 5 more. Fins, shock the boys in London. That would be sweet. Giants, Houston Clowns at home, and Titans. Hashtag Teal Heart, Duval Soul. Hashtag Faith. Hashtag Duval. From Eric, we got 8-8. He's giving us scores. Miami, 27-20. Cincinnati, 21-20. Miami and Cincinnati. Indianapolis on the road, 28-24. The Giants, 30-21. Houston, 17-10. Tennessee, 34-14. Blowout City, Titans, and Houston again, 14-9. Hashtag wild card at 8-8.
By the way, Jags apparently saved all their points for the second half of the season.
You ain't kidding. From Christoph, we got 6-10, but I hope less blowouts, more close games. From Cam, 4, it's going to be tough without Puz and still have a rookie quarterback. 5-11 is respectable at this point.
All right, got a couple of these on Facebook as well. 6 more wins, says Josh. Miami, Cincinnati, the Giants, Texans twice, and Tennessee. Christopher Moore said, all of them assume victory formation, hashtag Jaguars today. You can assume anything you like. I think that's fantastic. What do you think, Mark, in terms of what they need to do? Right now everybody feels good, but it's 1 week.
Hell,
okay?
Yeah.
You go out there and
that game was 10-6 with 6 minutes left.
Absolutely. One big play by Cleveland.
When Cleveland started self-destructing with the fumbled punt, they gave them great field position and then the interception.
And it was all the same problems as Tennessee too. It was they drive down the field and get in the red zone. I was talking to Mike about it. Between the 40 and the opponent's 20 is a quagmire for this Jacksonville Jaguar team again. I mean, they had Cecil Shorts open on a post where Bortles missed him. That's the same drive that resulted in the third interception. They have to find a way to start finishing off these drives when they are sustaining them inside these games.
Yeah, no question. But it's getting better. I think it's getting better. Even though the three interceptions from Bortles were, was probably arguably his worst game, I still felt like the offense, I think probably because of Denard and they were able, the ability to run the ball, I felt you could take some positives out of it. Listen, at some point, and I think it'll happen this season, they're going to put it all together. They're going to be able to run the ball, going to be able to throw it, going to be able to play, play this kind of defense that we've seen the last 3 weeks. And then just imagine, you talk about, we joke about, having some thought about if Justin Blackman's ever to play again, have some thought about when this team ever puts it together, being offensively and defensively. It'd be something else because I think there's enough talent on both sides of the ball to look really good.
By the way, a couple things we've got to point out. Dr. Stephen Lucy in the Garber Automall hot seat, as all guests of Jaguars today appear, and also the Tom Bush family of dealerships brings you the fan feedback spotlight daily, including Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. Stop by TomBush.com for more information the next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. What is the number that will satisfy fans? Look, every fan wants to win them all. I get it. But they feel good now. But ultimately, do they have to win 3 more, 4 more, 2 more? What is it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if 4 satisfies people because of last year. Here's the thing. You look at the scheduling, they don't have those, at least not right now, a dysfunctional team waiting on the schedule. Last year, you had a dysfunctional Houston team twice late in the season. So
Tennessee's pretty bad.
Tennessee's pretty, but they're not going to fire the coach. They're not making a quarterback switch out of just pure want. That's out of necessity. So, they're not, maybe Tennessee's bad, but, So give them that one here, but it's not like Houston is a gimme. I mean, all these people have them sweeping Houston. Last time I checked, Houston still got some pretty good playmakers on the offensive side of the ball and the best defensive player in the game right now. So,
and they played without Clowney for most of the first half.
And he'll
of the
be
season.
Back. Yeah, he'll be back at some point, you think. And so, you just don't have that dysfunctional team that's going to basically hand you a win. We go back, we talked about it before. When you look at the teams they've beaten, was it 7 wins in the last 3 years? Is that correct? Yeah, 4, yeah. 2, and 1. The 7 wins, it was like Tampa Bay turned the ball over. Was it Tampa Bay? Turned the ball over 7 times here at the bank. They beat an unbelievably bad Indianapolis Colts team playing without Peyton Manning twice. They beat a totally dysfunctional Houston Texans teams twice last year. They've beaten Tennessee twice now, or once last year. And Cleveland, obviously wasn't the same team not being able to run the ball. So, I just think that you don't have those teams on the schedule. So I think it's really hard to look at the schedule and go, yeah, check here, check there. if they finished 1-15, I don't know that I'd be stunned. As long as, but I would be surprised if they don't continue making progress offensively.
I'd be surprised if they finish 1-15, just because I get it that Pozlesny is a significant loss, but I think they can overcome the loss to Andre Branch in the short term because I think they have enough bodies
there.
Sure,
Ryan Davis, yeah.
That I still think the defense as a whole is playing well enough that, all right, so you're not going to limit a team to 6 points every week. Can you, if you continue to limit them to the mid to high teens, I think you're going to have those weeks when the offense clicks on all cylinders. You're not going to do that every single week, okay? Right. I understand. You're not going to, you know, Indy was up, Indy put 30 up in the first half. I get it. You're not going to hold them. But they've done it enough now that you're just kind of waiting for the offense to catch up. The running game showed you the first signs of life this week. We all think Blake Bortles is going to have many good days still ahead. So, you know, avoiding major injuries the rest of the way. And who knows? You look at a team like Cincinnati, again, we talk about that. Who knows if A.J. Green's back? Who knows what kind of shape they're in? If they lose to Baltimore at home this week, they could be reeling, you know, going into that game.
And, well, offensively, you're going to get Mercedes Lewis back at some point here. You expect Toby Gerhart to come back at some point. I don't know how much they're going to ask of him, you know, when he does get back. But listen, I've said it before. I think there's a lot of hope offensively that they're going to play a lot better. And then the question is, and you touched on it, can they sustain what they've done the last 3 weeks defensively? Because they've, as good as they've been, now all of a sudden playing without Paz. And I know there's a lot of people out there who aren't up on Paz. They're kind of down on Paz, and they think that, you know, that's a minimal loss. But I am in the minority maybe, or maybe in the majority, I don't know. But I definitely see that opposite. I think that's a huge loss for this team.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks again to Metro Rooter for bringing you the show every Wednesday here. Thanks to all of you out there in Radio Land for tuning in. AP Mark Long on Twitter. What do you got coming up in terms of your coverage of both the Jags and Gators the rest of the week?
That's a very good question. I'm very Gators today, because I believe that, well, they obviously they switched quarterbacks.
I believe in Muschamp, I thought you were going to say.
They switched quarterbacks, and there's at least a rumor out there that the Treon Harris police report could be released this afternoon.
The unredacted version
of that, which 18 pages. So, you know, that's going to fill my Wednesday. So I don't know, maybe a Telvin Smith feature today.
AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Congrats to Telvin Smith for getting the job done. He sat in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat earlier this week as well. All right, well, we'll look for all that coverage. We appreciate it as always. The boys of XL Primetime coming up. They're on remote today, so we won't have a chance to say hello to them. So for Lauren Brooks, for Joe Hair Gel Fortunato, for Fat Tony, and for Mark Long. Is that not nice? Is that not nice? I think he looks very handsome with the hair gel
Happy
that he's
Mike
using
is
this
back.
Week. I'm here. I'm smiling. That does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow morning. David Garrard joins us tomorrow on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.